All right. If you do not want to change your life for the better, you probably shouldn't listen to this episode. Gino Barbaro joins us. It was fantastic. It's just such a good conversation. High energy, a lot of positivity, and some tough love. We talk a lot about taking ownership and not blaming, politics or the economy, everything else that's very easy to blame. He talks about once you take ownership, it's so liberating to be able to take control of your financial situation and your future. Gino is a big multifamily investor. He had a multifamily education business that he recently sold. And now he's much more focused on legacy and family. And he certainly is still into multifamily real estate investing. And we do whip out the crystal ball toward the end. And I ask him what he sees in the near future as far as multifamily real estate goes. But man, he is so focused on the family and teamwork and building a legacy, and that it's not one size fits all. That, maybe multifamily real estate is best for you, maybe single family, maybe a W-2. Every question is really personal, but he delivers a lot of frameworks in this episode that are very practical. He's got a new book out that you can get for free, actually, which he mentions toward the end. And I just love this episode. This is really good for anyone who's interested in real estate and building wealth and taking ownership of your future. I mean, he's just feels so blessed, and he's not even sure how he's been able to. He looks back and he just, there's been a lot of adversity, a lot of ups and downs, but if you take the long-term view and you approach real estate investing and life as a team sport, man, you can't go wrong. And Gino's story is the epitome of how to do that. Enjoy this episode.
From adversity to abundance, hosted by entrepreneur and seasoned real estate investor Jamie Bateman, is the ultimate guide for active and passive investors seeking clarity, mental fitness, and the confidence to make inspired decisions in the world of real estate. With a decade plus of investing experience across various niches and a background as a combat veteran, former Army officer, and multi-million dollar mortgage note company owner, Jamie brings a wealth of knowledge and inspiring stories to each episode. Through weekly episodes featuring insightful interviews with industry leaders and solo explorations of mindset and strategy, listeners will uncover actionable advice and tips to overcome challenges and build lasting financial success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting, From Adversity to Abundance is your roadmap to turning obstacles into opportunities and achieving financial freedom.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Bateman, and I'm thrilled today to have with us Gino Barbaro. Gino is a very experienced multifamily real estate investor, an author, has a lot of experience in real estate education, and we're getting get into more detail later as to what Gino's up to specifically today. But Gino, for the listener out there, let's talk about some of the abundance that you've been able to reach, able to accomplish, and that you're living in today. What does it look like? What's a day in your life look like? What are you up to? What's some of the abundance that you're experiencing?
Jamie, thanks for having me on, number one. And number two, the show should be called From Adversity to Adversity to Adversity, maybe a little abundance, and then to a little bit more abundance, then back to adversity, and then that. Back to a little bit more abundance. That's how life really is.
That's
a life
so true.
In the day of Gino. Well, listen, I have six kids. The oldest one is 25 years old. She's going to go back out and become a missionary again. She's going back out to camp and being a missionary. That's her passion. Her passion is art. She's such a creative person. She loves music. She loves film. And she wants to spend, time with kids this summer, preaching the word of God. That's what her passion is, all the way down to a 10-year-old. She is at home. She is going to be the entrepreneur of the family, I think. we homeschool our kids, so I see my kids all the time. I'm living and working out of my house currently right now. I bought a farm about a year ago, 6 acres. I've got a shooting berm on there. I've got two donkeys. I've got a little cow, 5.5-month-old Black Angus called Antonio. But we're up to 30 chickens right now. I've got a nice vegetable garden. So my day is filled. Listen, I just had a big transition in life. We just sold the education company. And it's
Gotcha.
one of those things where I'm just resetting right now. I'm focusing on a family company. And it's one of those things where people think they become financially free. They think they become abundant and they're going to go sit on a beach. If you've worked your entire life to become really good at something, all of a sudden you become good at something, do you think that person who's been motivated their entire lives is just going to go check out?
No.
That's not how life works. How
Absolutely not.
life really works is you finally get good at something. You finally find your soul passion and your purpose. And you're like, I want more of this. How can I get more
Absolutely.
of this? And you end up putting more on your plate. And my
Right.
wife, who's an amazing person, always has these ideas. I've got this idea. And if she's going to give me an idea, I have to go off that idea and I have to actually expand upon that idea.
Love it. Yeah, that's so good. And you're absolutely right. And we do talk about that on the show as far as the success or happiness or abundance. It's not a path that's a straight line up and to the right. We often talk about how we all experience adversity and we're gonna experience more adversity for sure in the future. It's more a matter of how do you deal with that. You don't know what it's gonna look like exactly, but that said, you're in a position now, Gino, because you've been successful financially to pursue your passion and focus on your family business and focus on the things you just rattled off, which sound amazing. So it's not to say you don't have any problems or challenges, but you're experiencing a level of abundance that I don't think you could have experienced decades ago. So there is something to be said for, grinding and working and finding a way to make money and overcoming adversity, financial adversity specifically. So for the listener out there, let's jump back. And we're gonna have, I know before we hit record, you and I were talking about, I mean, we have a lot of practical value that we're gonna deliver in this episode for sure. I mean, with all the educational experience you have and the multifamily investing experience, we have a ton of practical value for sure that we're gonna deliver. But let's talk about your backstory, Gino. 2008, what was your life like personally? What was going on?
So for those of you listening, you may be saying to yourself, why should I listen to this Gino guy, this pizza guy? I mean, simply, I had one restaurant for literally 20 something years. I partner up with my business partner, Jake, in 2011. And within 5 years, we own over 1,000 multifamily units. It didn't happen by accident. And one thing when I look back that really shaped my financial future was that time in 2008, where it seems like it was 100 years ago. And it seems as if we're going back into the 08 period. At least I hope so, because we need a reset. And hopefully, with all the work that the government is doing right now, cutting all these useless jobs, trying to cut the spending, it slows the economy down. I'm hoping that happens. But in 2008, I was the person who was blaming everybody. I was blaming Obama. I was blaming Bush. This recession. But I had to take a step back and say, huh, how is that person making millions of dollars and I'm not? I pick up the book by T. Harv Eker, The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. I start reading it and I say to myself, this guy's a jerk. But then I read it again and I'm like, this guy's 100% correct. I mean, for lack of a better word, I'm being a little bitch. I'm blaming everybody. It's everybody's fault except my own. Everything I've done up until that point in my life is all on me. All of the results that I've had up until that point in my life were all mine. Once I understood everything, I would say 95% of our problems, we call them energy blocks, are external. I'm sorry, are internal. 5% are external. I can't control the economy. I
No.
can't control who gets elected, but I
Sure.
can control what goes into my mind. I can control my thoughts, my limiting beliefs, my assumptions, all that. Once I understood that, it's as if a weight was lifted. Because now all of a sudden I have hope. Now all of a
Right.
sudden I can
That's
start planning.
absolutely. It's very liberating, once that mental transition to not blaming and not being the victim constantly, once that occurs. I had a similar experience in around a little bit later. It wasn't until 2015 where I'd been working a W-2 for years and then just kind of it was Groundhog Day and I was like, my life is going nowhere. It's fine, but I wasn't passionate about what I was doing or anything. So had a mental reset, and we won't tell my whole story here, but just inst I flipped the script mentally, and I said, what strengths do I have? What people do I have in my corner? What's my network? What can I focus on that are positives that I can kind of take ownership of my situation with, right? And so there was a real mental shift then, and that's when I started really diving into real estate myself. But I couldn't agree more. It's liberating. It's hard to do initially. It's hard to accept that maybe our problems are due to our own choices and our own
You've
behavior.
been living a lie your whole life and you have to accept it. Let's see what's been going on the last 10 or 15 years. All of a sudden, doctors are starting to realize, wow, maybe pharmaceuticals aren't the answer. Maybe a little nutrition. Can you imagine
Sure.
understanding that you think you've been right for the whole last 20 or 30 years of your life and you need to admit to yourself, I may have made a mistake? And
Right.
it all comes down to the pride and to the
Ego.
ego. Ray
Sure.
Dalio says, ego, there's your blind spots. And if you can really have an honest assessment and have
Yeah.
people around you and be able to look, as Stephen Covey says, through that paradigm and start widening your paradigm, it's
Yeah.
really difficult because
Sure.
it does hit the ego. But if you can
It
start to
does.
do that and you can start asking yourself better questions, you're going to
Right.
start getting better answers to your
Yeah.
life.
I love that. All right. So set the stage for us. 2008. What did things look like? And I know you mentioned the pizza business and all that, but kind of how did those next, you said 3 years, I think, from 2008 to 2011. What did that look like, that growth period after you made that mental shift?
It sucked. I had a real estate deal that I overpaid on in 2006. At the end of 2006, I bought at the wrong part of the market cycle. I overpaid. I didn't know how to do underwriting. I didn't know the asset class itself. I bought in the wrong city. I didn't know what a commercial lease was. I made every mistake imaginable, and I was in the midst of that. So I'm trying to rectify. How do I get out of that? How, as I'm working harder and making less, how do I, deal with that? Because at the time I had four children. I need to put food on the table. I
Sure.
don't see a future. The GDP of the country literally sucks. I mean, it's horrible. And I said to myself, I need to learn this real estate business. I went out and I started getting mentored by Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I met a company, a gentleman named Dave Lindahl. I met another gentleman named Craig Haskell. I started pouring money that I didn't have into my education because I saw. There's two ways to learn. You can either learn on the street or you can learn in the classroom. I had learned on the street, and that education had cost me hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. This education was a lot less, but it gave me some type of framework. And when I met my business partner, Jake, he was selling, pharmaceuticals to
Okay.
doctors, coming to the restaurant, getting catering food, and going to the doctor's offices. I was ready. He knew nothing about real estate. He was following his passion about building sports equipment. That's what he wanted to do. And
Okay.
then I said, Jake, let's do real estate together. And he ended up moving down to Knoxville, Tennessee. When he moved to Knoxville, that's where we started investing.
Okay.
And I was ready. I had the mentorship, I had the skills
Yeah.
and the understanding of the business.
Yeah. Interesting. So you just already, you two knew you were going to be partners. It was just a matter of what industry you were going to venture into. Is that right?
At some point, I liked the way my business partner functioned. He was a young dude. And at the time, I didn't know the word values-based decision making, but our values truly aligned. We both didn't
Interesting.
want to stay in our businesses. He
Yeah.
obviously hated the job he was at because all of a sudden Obamacare started coming in, things started
Yeah.
changing, his
Sure.
compensation started changing. As far as being long-term minded, being family-focused,
Yeah.
focusing on one asset, wanting to create wealth,
Yeah.
having no shiny object, all of those things really aligned well for the two of us.
Yeah.
And we found our partnership to work really well. The only unfortunate thing, actually, it's a fortunate thing now, it did take us 18 months to find that first deal because we had no map and no process. We didn't
Sure.
have what we call our three-step framework of buy right, manage right, and finance right. We didn't
Got
have
it.
that. That's why it took us 18 months to find the first deal. But after that first deal, 3 months later, the same broker brought us another deal. So it's one of those things where you're in la la land, you just in multifamily, and I think personally real estate is a team sport.
Absolutely.
Trying to do it on yourself can be challenging.
For
I was
sure.
just fortunate to understand what the partnership looked like. And we took it slow in the beginning. We did one deal together, then we did a second deal together. Then we realized that our personalities really aligned.
Yeah.
I never made mistakes. I'm sorry, I never made excuses.
Gotcha.
Jake never made excuses. We've made tons of
Love that.
mistakes, but
Right.
we at least live up to those mistakes.
Sure, you
Listen,
own.
I'm on a podcast right now. I've been sick for the last 4 days. I'm not going to call Jake up and say, "Hey, bro, I can't make this podcast today." No, that's not even in a thought in my mind. And the same thing with him. He's on vacation right now. And guess what? We just put an offer in on a deal. So it's one of those things where he got a deal sent to him by our quote unquote deal dogs off market. He's not going to sit there and go, "Oh, well, you know, I'm out here and in
I'm on
the Caribbean,
vacation.
I'm hanging out, I'm chilling." He
Yeah.
checks his phone. He puts in that offer. It's a life-changing deal. So that's the mentality that we
Yeah.
have. We
Love
don't
that.
want to let our partners down. And if you're going to go
Sure.
partner with somebody, make sure your values align and make
Right.
sure your work ethic aligns as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And that I don't know if we've really had that approach discussed on the show as far as choosing your business partner before you really choose which industry you're going to go into. Because a lot of times most people generally, oh, I like real estate. I see successful people in real estate, and then they go into a niche in real estate, and then they look around for partners.
You could do that. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's a
Sure.
good idea. I just knew that I wanted to do something. I knew that I wanted real estate. And then Jake, luckily for him, met a doctor who was financially free through investing in real estate and multifamily up and down the East Coast. And he's like, "Wow, that's great. You're the only doctor here who's not getting bought out by all of these different medical groups." He's like, "I love being a doctor. I can be a doctor because this real estate's providing for my financial, life. I can do
Sure.
this because I love to do this." And I think that concept and that thought of Jake, like, "Wow, I can do real estate, create a business, and really love what I'm doing." I think that's what hooked him into the
Yeah.
business.
So say 2011, how were the next 10 years? I know you mentioned there were lots of ups and downs, a lot of mistakes made, but say what did it, I mean, you said the first 18 months you didn't do a deal, then you did a couple deals pretty quickly. Say years 2 through 10. I know that's a long time, but what did the scaling look like? What did your business look like?
Well, I had two more children. So in 2011, my fifth child was born. 2014, my sixth child was born. I wish I'd had more kids, to be honest with you. I'm 54 right now. It would have been nice to have a couple more, but we stopped. As far as the portfolio goes, I was really fortunate that I'm sitting at my restaurant one day. I've got my chef coat on. I've got some pizza stains on my shirt. And in walks a friend. Look up. And he's got these beautiful shoes on, Bruno Mai shoes on. He's got a nice watch. And I'm like, "Let me start talking to him." I haven't talked to him in a while. His name was Mike. We sat down. He worked at a hedge fund and he was buying single family homes. And I said, "Mike, you know what? I'm investing in real estate and multifamily down in the Southeast. I just bought this asset at $600,000. The rent we're collecting monthly is 13 grand a month. It's $150,000 in rent gross we're collecting a year. That's a four gross rent multiplier." And he remember him looking at me going, "Really? I'm buying these $2 million single family homes and I'm getting 10 grand a month." So it didn't take a rocket scientist to find out that I was onto something. But
Sure.
that's where luck and taking a chance happened. I was ready. I was
Right.
ready with the information. So when Mike sat down, I had an intelligent conversation with him. He eventually ended up partnering up on that second deal.
Okay.
And then from there on, he's been our partner ever since. And the reason
Okay.
why I mention that story is people are always using limiting beliefs to say, "Well, I don't have the money. I don't
Right.
have the balance sheet."
Sure.
I did neither, but I
Right.
found my Mike, and Mike
Right.
was our balance sheet. And on our third deal, it was a $4 million deal. Mike lent us $500,000 to get into that deal. He
Okay.
diluted his equity to do that for Jake and myself because he
Okay.
saw the value in the deal. So don't let lack of money hold you back. That's
Yeah.
the relationship you have with money. I knew that I wanted it bad enough. I knew that I could provide value to Mike, and I knew that Mike saw the value in our proposition, and
Right.
that's why we aligned, and that's why we got together.
I love that you mentioned that you're providing value to Mike, because it's not
Absolutely.
something you're selling to him that he doesn't need or anything like
Nope.
that. You're solving a problem for him and he's solving a problem for you. And that's, like you said, it's a team sport, and that's the whole point. It's mutually beneficial so that it can be win-win-win. So
Absolutely.
what did that first deal with Mike look like? I mean, how successful was it, and how did things go from there?
I mean, the deal was a 36 unit deal. We paid $23,000 per unit on that deal. It was actually four of us now because my brother was a partner. So we were all 25% in. We bought the property, it was generating $10,000 a month in rental income. Within 5 months, I think it was up to $18,000 a month. We currently still own that asset. We paid
Really?
$800,000. Yeah, we paid $850,000 for that asset. Today, conservatively, it's probably worth $4.5 million. So we
Wow.
still own it. We've refinanced it twice. We
Okay.
had it with a community bank. We refinanced
Yeah.
to a community bank, then we refinance to agency. That debt is coming due probably in the next 3 years.
Okay.
But the ability to do that one deal and him to understand, and
Yeah.
this is for the listener out there,
Yeah.
when you're buying real estate, it is income over expenses. It's your net operating income. It's
Yeah.
how are you adding value to that property? That's what real estate really is. And it's a
Sure.
business. And Mike understood that because
Right.
he's a numbers guy. And if you can understand real estate from that perspective, that you're buying a business, every deal we've done, we own, I think, a little over 40 LLCs, 40 different properties. Every single one of them is its own cash generating machine. Every
Right.
single one of them has its own future stream of revenue. And if you can understand that going in early, you'll look
Sure.
at this business completely different.
Interesting. And now you're up to over, you own over 2,000 multifamily units, and 250 million in assets under management, right?
We have 1,860 units right now. We
Okay.
have 60 under contract, and we have a potential to get another 68 under contract. I think the number is $450 million in assets.
Wow.
But more importantly, there's no syndications. It's all our capital. And you may
Gotcha.
be saying to yourself, how the heck did you do that in 10 years? The real answer is, I have no idea. I guess if you expand on that answer of having no idea, it just takes a little bit of time. We're able
Yeah.
to refinance this equity out. It's like a loan payback to
Yeah.
us. And I'm not one that goes and spends money on toys and gadgets. I just take that money and reinvest it
Reinvest.
back into the business. And this is an important point I need to make.
Yeah.
When I started in 2011, I was still working at my restaurant. I was there for 5 years. I
Okay.
left in March of 2016. So
Okay.
all of the money that I made into the business, I reinvested it into the real estate business. The restaurant paid for my lifestyle. At a particular point, there becomes a law of diminishing returns where you're saying, I'm spending too much time on my job and not
Right.
enough time on the real estate. That is a very personal question to you. But what I would
Right.
say is if you're starting out, if you have what I had a large family, I had a decent amount of expenses. I could
Yeah.
not quit early on. I
Sure.
stayed out longer. And to me, I think it was a benefit because it
Yeah.
actually made my balance sheet
No.
stronger and I
Yeah.
was able to live off of my restaurant earnings and
Right.
everything I made in the real estate, I continued to plow back into the
Yeah.
real
I
estate.
love that. And like you said, it is a very personal question. And we've talked about this on the show before. When do you know it's time to leave your make that transition from whether it's a W-2 or another business in your case, and whether to do it instantly. I went part-time at my job for 7 years while I was building out my real estate
Excellent. I
business.
went part-time for
Seven
6 months.
years.
Great. That is excellent.
Yeah. And it's over time. And then eventually, when I did quit my W-2, did my income go down? Yeah, because I had a W-2 income that was no longer there. So people talk about, well, I need to replace my income. Well, yeah, but there's still going to be a point where when you walk away, you actually do have a drop in income. But to your point, Gino, it's how are you spending your time? You mentioned this already. What There's opportunity costs when you're working at the in the pizza business because you're not working in the real estate business, and you longer term, the real estate business in your case was a better bet for sure. So anything else to add to for the listener as far as when is the right time to transition into real estate if that's the right path for them?
Jamie, I need to give a little tough love right now.
Okay.
If you're serious about doing this, you need to really become an expense hawk. If you've got cars, if you've got personal debt, if you've got a dog, if you have a farm and you
Right.
want to transition, you need to get lean. You need to get mean and you need to focus everything on earning. You need to get rid of as many expenses and as many luxuries as you possibly can because for the next 12 to 24 months, it may be a bumpy road. But then after that, life changes and you're not even worried about the material possessions. You need to go into producer mode. You have to shed the consumer mode and say, you know what? I'm not going to consume. I need to focus everything, all of my efforts on producing. I'm
That's so
producing
good.
value. I'm producing income. That's
Yeah.
hard for the
Yeah.
vast majority of the population. And that's why the
Sure.
vast majority of the population lives paycheck to paycheck. That's just the reality. But if
Right.
you wanted, and I think everybody listening to this deserves to have that opportunity. But there is a little tough love. There's a little bit of denial. There's a little bit of like instant gratification needs to go by the wayside. And it's hard and it's challenging. But when you get through that period, you're not even worried about buying another car because you don't really care. You're having so much fun buying deals and building the business that that comes secondary.
That's awesome. That's so good. I think the listener needs to rewind that last 2 minutes and just listen to it again. That was fantastic. So finishing up your story here, I mean, you know, it's never finished, of course, but say, what did the last like 5 years look like as far as your real estate business goes?
In 2018, we got into the syndication world, now that I'm looking back, because we had to teach it. All of a sudden, syndication became this catchword because of the 2017 Jobs Act. It became a lot easier to raise capital, cost segregation. We did three syndicated deals. We found that it was not to our liking. We didn't want to work with investors, although it was an amazing bridge because we started running out of capital. So we're saying to ourselves, how do we continue to expand the portfolio?
Right.
Well, one way is to start syndicating deals. And at that point, it was a great avenue. We had built up our social media content. We had a brand and it was, I don't want to say easy, but it was fairly easy to raise $10 million for three deals. And that's what we did. Ultimately, we ended up exiting those syndications. The third one, we ended up exiting, I think, last February. So a little over a year ago, we exited our third syndication. And it was great. But since then, we've been able to accumulate enough capital where we're just investing in our own deals. And we're basically, on average, doing $25 to $30 million in deals a year internally. We're vertically integrated, so we don't want to do thousands of units. We have to manage our own assets, so we have to hire our own people. So that becomes a challenge in and of itself. So we love to buy newer assets, and every now and again, we'll sprinkle in an older asset where it takes a lot more bandwidth of our team.
Right.
So we're really, I guess, cognizant of that. What I would say to anybody listening to this, read the book Small Giants by Bo Burlingham. For me and Jake, we realized that we did not want to become the Facebook of multifamily. We wanted to focus on one metric, and that's PPU, or profit per unit. We wanted to run it with the intent of extracting as much equity and as much value out of every deal that we bought. We weren't out there trying to accumulate units and trying to accumulate fees. That's a great strategy in a market going up. But the problem is there's no long-termism there. Those investors tend to have to sell out after 3 or 4 years and return capital to their investors. We had done that. We just didn't like that. When I read the book Small Giants, it made total sense to me. I want to have a smaller company, not in size of units, but just smaller as far as being able to manage the culture, having values, having a mission statement, serving whatever investors we had. And then obviously what we started doing is we started allowing our employees that were with us for more than 2 years to start investing in our deals as well.
Oh,
so
awesome.
For me, that was a seminal shift, reading that book and saying, huh, this is what I want to do with our business. I want to have a business that way we can profit $300 profit per unit on every deal that we own.
Okay.
And that's the metric for us.
Yes,
is we're
going to
do a deal. That's what we want to focus on.
Yeah. I've heard that book recommended. I need to read it.
Oh, it's great.
And I love that the focus on quality over quantity and just efficiencies and people, right. And team and adding value, you know, in every asset, instead of it just trying to amass a bunch of units, just really approaching it from a quality and efficiency standpoint and investing in your people. I love that.
Jamie, I'm not here to tell people to do that. I'm here to tell people that's what I did. It really served me well.
Right, right.
And I would caution everybody out there, it can be very challenging. During 21 and 22, we were buying smaller deals, 20 units and 30 units, and everybody, it seemed, was buying these big deals. Everyone's doing great.
Right.
Jake and Gino, you guys suck. And that's how it felt.
Right. But
pull back.
Yeah.
Shut off Instagram.
Yeah.
Focuses on what you want. Focus on what you see yourself doing in the next 5 to 10 years and pull that back. And if that is going after 100 units and 300 units and owning 5,000 units, get clear on that.
Yeah.
You don't have to be brainwashed into Instagram into saying you need to scale up.
Right.
If you don't feel like scaling up and owning a couple hundred units, that's phenomenal. This 68 unit deal that we're going to do, if we buy this deal at $3.4 million, once we're repositioned with it, it's going to be probably worth I mean, at $150,000 a unit, it's probably gonna be worth $9 or $10 million. It's 70, 68 units. If you're doing $300 in profit per unit, it's generating $18,000 to $20,000 a month in revenue, in profit per unit for yourself. So don't think that you need to own thousands of units to become financially free through real estate. That's what the bill of goods we've been sold. Bo Burlingham's book lays it out and says, you don't have to do that. You have to do what makes you happy.
I love that. That's really good. So you recently sold off the education business. So what does your business look like today as far as, the people? How many team members? What's the partnership look like?
We still are vertically integrated as far as the property management company and as far as the acquisitions, but we've probably are approaching 100 team members, maintenance techs, property managers, regionals, COO. And as far as the education company, I just stopped falling in love teaching real estate because it's very challenging right now. And I decided, you know what? I love talking about money. I love life coaching. I love talking about family. I love talking about legacy. So I created a company with my family called Barbaro 360.
Awesome. And what is dive into that a little bit. What is that all about?
So for us, what I've seen over the last 30 to 40 years has been the degradation of the family. And you can point every, and I don't, maybe I'm overstating this, but almost every single metric that's gone down in this country has due to the family. You can blame the school districts all you want, but it's really hard when when you have a kid going to school that doesn't have a great family life and he's trying to learn, right? You can see crime, you can see, as far as kids being born out of wedlock, every problem that we have, poverty, it's due to the disintegration, in my opinion, of the family. So I want to take it upon myself not to complain about it, but to be a light, to shine a light on it. And my mission with the new company is to change the world one family at a time. And if I can change one family, that ripple effect will start changing other families. And how do you do that? You don't do that by telling people, you do that by showing people. And that's what this whole company is all about, is showing people through faith, through family, through finance, through health and wellness, how you can start transforming your family and becoming the light that others need to see as well.
Okay, so get a little more granular, and then I do have some questions to fire at you. But what does
Sure.
that mean for the listener? How do they work with you? What does that mean for me?
For me, is the first thing is just to read our book, Happy Money, Happy Family, Happy Legacy. For every person that is in a family, it's like running a business. It's your family should have core values and a mission statement. You as a father should be transparent, open, and honest. We teach people through our mentorship, through our coaching, through our platform. We've got podcasts out there, how to start connecting at a different level with your family. To me, it all starts with the finance. It all starts with money. I love talking about happy money. How do you start that conversation with your kids? How do you even start talking to them about money and laying that foundation? Because through generating and earning what I call happy money, positive, energy, money that comes into your life, you can start earning that and showing your kids that. All of a sudden, you can start empowering your family and the legacy piece. Jamie, you were talking about the restaurant years ago. I was in the throes of unhappy money, and I needed to be there because I needed to pay the bills. But most of us continue to make that excuse of, well, it's a job and I need to be there, not stepping aside and saying, well, where's my happy money? Where do I love to reside? And for me, it was always the real estate aspect of it. I never gave up on that dream. And once I got out of the restaurant, became financially free, I started Jake and Gino. That was my happy money, coaching, helping others. I mean, over 150 students have left their W-2s, over $5 billion. They've raised over $800 million in that community. That's where the happy money came from me. That's where I showed up. That's my abundance. That's my sole purpose.
Love
And now
that.
I've just shifted into trying to help out families. And how do I do that? Try to go a little bit broader. And multifamily is an important aspect of it, and investing is an important aspect of it. But I think this whole different brand brings out a different level.
Well, and I think what you're getting to as well is life has seasons, and your passions can change, and that's okay. It doesn't mean Gino's passions have been identical from age 5 to however old you are now. So I love that, and you were leaning into multifamily more for a long time, and when it was more of your passion, and now it's not that you're not passionate about it, but you're maybe a little more passionate about a broader topic. And
You bring you, Jamie, I'm sorry to cut you off,
yeah,
but
no.
you bring an amazing point up. And now that you're saying that, I'm going back. I started Jake and Gino for a dual purpose. I started it, and this is a mistake that most business owners make. We start a business to provide for the family. We don't
Sure.
start a business to provide for the customer. And I have a
Right.
little bit of bias for that with Jake and Gino. I started it because I wanted to start a brand where I could raise capital, where I could
Okay.
be more at more, I could actually be more viable, be more known to brokers
Sure.
and start that. When in reality, I start look back at it. It was dual purpose. I really started it because I loved what I was doing and I was providing value to the customers and to the Jake and Gino members. So if
Okay.
you're out there and you're looking to get into your passion, there's nothing wrong with that. But
Right.
try to couple your passion with providing value to the people you're delivering
Yes.
your passion to. That's
Yes.
where the link was because the restaurant, it became, at first, I love to cook. I love to be
Right.
with my family, but then it became a drudgery
Right.
because all I was thinking about was myself and not looking at my
Right.
customer as the end user and saying,
Yes.
man, this person is paying me. This person, I need to put love into the food. It became more of a job and it
Right.
became more of
Yeah.
just a soul-sucking experience when it
Yeah.
shouldn't have been.
Absolutely. And we were talking, we talked a little bit about that before we hit record, and we've talked about this on the show before as far as when to follow your passion and when not to, or when, you know, when to do something you don't love doing. But I think ideally there's that Venn diagram of I'm passionate about it in this circle, and the other circle is someone will pay me for this. But like you said, at some point you need to be not focused on yourself and your own quote unquote passion, because many people will turn their passions into something they despise if they're trying to milk every dollar out of it and they're only focused on what am I getting out of this? They're not focused on delivering value, adding value to the customer.
Jamie, the problem is that most of us don't know how to start a business. So could you imagine if you're passionate about sewing? My
Right.
kids love to sew. You can make a ton of money with sewing if you find the correct visionary that will help you monetize your passion.
Sure,
Why not
sure.
find a partner that will help you with systems, with processes, with creating core values and a culture within what you're trying to create? You do the sewing. You're the technician, as
Sure.
Michael Gerber likes to say.
Right,
Find a
yes.
visionary that will help you out. Now, most people say Elon Musk doesn't do whatever he does. He's not really that smart at all. Give me a break. The guy is not only a visionary, he
Yeah.
knows how to build businesses. So he's a rare person. But
Oh,
if you
yeah.
have a passion, you can create it into a business. You just need to understand the business principles, and value creation is number one. But there's also income expenses. And if
Right.
you're not that kind of person that doesn't like that,
Right.
either number one, don't get into the business, or number two, find
Partner.
someone that can help you monetize what you love to do.
Sure. That's really, really good. Awesome. All right, I've got some rapid fire questions. You ready, Gino?
Yes.
Let's see. What's one thing that people misunderstand about you?
I really don't think people misunderstand me. I'm an
Love
open book.
it.
I'm transparent. I'm honest. I think sometimes when we talk politics, I may get a little heated or passionate about it, and they may think that I get a little tough on people, but I
Yeah,
just try to
keep it
say
real.
it like it is. Exactly.
Love it. What's one of your biggest failures, and what did you learn from that experience?
That's a great question because so many different ideas pop into my mind. But as far as financially, failure financially, well, I'll give you failure personally. As a father, it took me years to learn how to say sorry to my kids, and I still struggle with that because it's part of the ego. As a parent, you think you're always right, when in reality, we make tons of mistakes, and I
Sure.
always thought being sorry and that vulnerability was a
A
weakness, when in
weakness.
reality, it's a strength.
Right.
Now, my financial mistake was that deal that I'd mentioned to you back in 2006. Probably lost close, high six figures, touching maybe seven figure
Wow.
over a span of 10 years once I sold out of it. But
Right.
the lessons that I learned were invaluable. The pain that it went through, that's why the adversity, through abundance, through
Right.
adversity, there was adversity for a 10-year hold on that. But while that was going on, I got together and partnered with Jake and I started buying other assets. And that deal pushed me into the mentorship.
Which has obviously provided a good bit of abundance for you,
It
and
sure has.
obviously paid it forward, you know, many, many times over. If you could go back and give your 18-year-old self some advice, what would that be?
I really like where I am, so I don't really want to change the trajectory of my life.
Yeah.
But early on, when I got married, I would have told that 18-year-old self, you don't need to buy new homes. You can buy fixer-up homes, get in there, fix them up, save that equity, and invest in other things. But the homes that I built, there's so much memory there, and there's so
Right.
many great times there, so it's really hard to.
Sure.
But for me, as a younger person, anyone who's listening to this younger, your
Yeah.
goal is to really focus on producing and really focus on learning how to create value for others
Right.
and learning how to save money, because that saving of money will allow you to invest money. Do not go into debt where someone else owns you.
Sure.
That is today's form of slavery, is when you are shackled by debt payments and you can't see your way out.
Right.
Please avoid that. That's one thing I would say to young people.
Yeah, and defer that satisfaction,
Yes.
for a period of time. If you were given $10 million tomorrow, Gino, what would you do with it?
That's another great question. I really don't know, other than I've been on this website called James Edition. They've got beautiful villas in Europe. I'd possibly buy a villa in Europe for 3-4 mil in Tuscany and use that as a retreat
Nice. I love it.
for
I
my
love that.
daughter. Have missions going out there and have pilgrimages out there. If I had to be honest with you, that's probably
Yeah.
what I'd want to do.
Nice. There you go. What is a challenge that you're facing in your business right now?
The challenge for me right now is trying to start this business and see where we want to take it. I've been burned out with social media for the last several years, doing Instagram shorts and YouTube videos and
Yeah.
trying to get clicks and likes. To me, anybody listening to this, one of my mentors, Brendon Burchard, said this, and it's really stuck with me. It's purpose over popularity. Too many of us focus on trying to become popular by not focusing on our purpose. And that's something that I've struggled with and I will continue to struggle with. And I want to be able to focus my purpose on what I'm trying to accomplish. And
Yeah.
hopefully some popularity comes from that.
Sure. And I think that's just as you were saying that I realized that as another version of taking the focus off of yourself, because popularity is really how does it make me feel? It's all about me. How many people like
Yes.
me? Whereas purpose is not really about you. It's about serving others and what am I meant to do? What was I called to do? How do I add value to others? So that's really
It's the
good.
hero and the guide mentality.
Yeah.
On this
Yeah.
podcast, typically the person who's hosting the podcast is
Right.
the guide,
Right.
and the person that's being interviewed is the hero. And
Right.
I think anybody listening to the show right now is also a hero. You're on
Absolutely.
this journey and you're taking them on this journey. And if you
Yeah.
can look at life from that perspective, where you're a guide and you're helping other people out and you're
Right.
treating others as the hero in their
Right.
story, you're
Yeah,
going to have
for
a lot
sure.
of friends.
That's the Donald Miller marketing. I forget
Yes,
the
story
name.
brand.
Yes, thank you. All about the being the guide and the customer is the hero, and you're just the guide providing, assistance along the way. I love that. And it's really gets down to, I heard Alex Hormozi talking about this the other day, but it's as far as understanding people's pain points, and he was saying it's fine to talk about your solution a little bit, but it's really more about if you can well articulate the pain that the customer is
Oh.
experiencing. That's
Yes.
empathy and that's like understanding and that's what's going to sell. I mean that's what's going to really do it for you. And then you're
Jamie,
not sharing, then you're not selling something they don't need.
I've listened to a gentleman named Zig Ziglar for the vast majority of my adult life. He
Yeah.
used to say there was a radio station called WIIFM. What's in it for me?
All right. I've heard
If you
that.
can really
That's
look at it from that perspective, and that's what the person, the customers want. They don't care about you, honestly.
right.
And that's just human nature. And if you
Sure.
understand that, what's in it for them?
Yes.
Don't tell them about yourself so much. They want to know how you're going to help them out. And if you can cut to
Absolutely.
the chase, and like Hormozi, the genius that he is,
Right.
understands that, he's
Right.
providing them a solution. He's providing them a problem to their pain. Are you
Right.
going to become rich doing that? You're going to become fantastically rich if you
Right.
can realize that.
Right. Love it. Awesome. Before we get to, well, I know you've, well, before I get to that one, back to the multifamily space,
Sure.
get out your crystal ball. What do things look like going forward? I think there are a lot of loans and debt that's going to be coming due. You mentioned earlier about possibly removing back toward 2008 or something similar to that. I know whatever we say is going to be not 100% accurate here because nobody knows, but what are your best guesses on the next, say, 5 years as far as the multifamily real estate space goes?
If you go back to 2019 or 2020, if you're listening to this, I have a question for you. Would you have bought an asset 5 years ago? The answer is probably yes. So if we fast forward to the year 2030, and I ask you the same question, would you have bought an asset in 2025? What would that answer be?
Sure.
Probably yes.
Yeah.
So for me, long term, understanding the market cycle, understanding what we call the three pillars of real estate and our buy right, manage right, finance right framework. If you're an investor and you understand risks and market cycle, to me, this is one of the best times to buy real estate in the last 15 plus years. Right now, debt is very difficult to obtain. They're being a pain in the ass. They're pulling back. They're asking for more. So what happens is sellers sooner or later are going to have to continue to drop pricing. We're going into a softening of the economy, which we should. I hope Trump slows this economy down where we can start dropping interest rates. We need to take care of inflation. So shorter term, there may be bumps. And yes, debt has been trying to reset for the last 12 to 18 months. There's going to be a lot of older assets coming online. Don't overpay for them. Be careful because 65, 1965 plumbing is still 1965 plumbing. It still costs a lot of money. Roofs, driveways, you need to be able to budget for that. So understand where we are. To me, long term, as far as demographics, just be aware of where you are as far as investing. The Southeast is great. The Midwest is great. The Sun Belt is great, where people are moving to. And obviously, you want more favorable landlord laws if you can. You want great. As far as I'm concerned, you want great areas where they promote business, where they promote growth, where they promote jobs. If you can lock all of that in and you have a long-term mindset and you're not there trying to flip out every 2 months and you can say to yourself, I can hold this asset for the next three, 4 or 5 years, you're in a great position with real estate.
Love that. It's really good. Real estate is very forgiving over the long haul. You can make a mistake or two or, but yeah, I love that. I love that answer. Closing questions here. How has financial abundance made your life better, Gino?
It's made my life better with one word. And in the book, Happy Money, I talk about it. It's giving me autonomy. I
Love
mean,
it.
money doesn't make you happy,
No.
but the option to get on this podcast with you this morning
Yeah.
made me happy. As you can see, I freaking love talking about it. If I had to go and work at the restaurant at 10 o'clock on a Friday, God forbid, you wouldn't see me. It would one chance in a million. You'd see snow in hell before you saw me on a podcast at 10 o'clock on a Friday morning at the restaurant. That's the reality. It gives you the options. It gives you the ability to create impact in your life. Money is just a result. Money is a tool. The last thing I'll say is profit to me is the fuel. It's not my destination. That's what's changed in my life. And I'm trying to use money to impact others, to create more happier experiences in my life. It's not the money that's doing that. It's the autonomy that's allowing me to do that.
Sure, that's so good. Now you've mentioned several books. Is there another book or two that you could recommend for our listener?
It's interesting. I had a book that jumped into my head and jumped right out of
Jumped
it.
right out.
You're talking about, I forgot what you were talking about.
Well, you've got three books: Wheelbarrow Profits, The Honeybee and Family, and then Food and the Friars. And then
Yes. It's a cookbook, yes. And I would say The Honeybee is an excellent book because it's a book about multiple streams of revenue. If you're in there, it's a story about Noah, who's a pharmaceutical rep, who meets Tom, who's a beekeeper, and all of a sudden Tom starts telling him and teaching him about various ways to
That's
start
cool.
building a real estate empire. I mean, if I'm looking at a book right now, the book that I'm reading right now, I would say it's James Clear's Atomic Habits. I'm
So
reading
good.
that for the fourth time.
Yeah, I need
And
to reread it.
aggregation of marginal returns. I mean, there's just so many different
Yeah.
ways. And I'm looking at goal setting, and I've been goal setting for the last 20 years. And I love what he says. Goals are the results. That's the problem. We all focus too much on the results, and those results don't create happiness in our lives. Because once we get the 100 units, all of a sudden the
It's like,
goal
what
is 200
next?
units.
Yeah. It's like, and you do need, and I've read it. I need to read it again. It's so good. But you need to know the direction you're headed in for sure. You don't just start doing stuff without any kind of intention. But at the same time, yeah, James Clear is all about process and habits, obviously, and not just the end result. So I think he, I don't think he puts goals down necessarily. It's just they're a
No, he
little bit,
doesn't.
yeah. People are just a little less, a little too focused on goals without being focused on the process and habits.
Yes, great, great synopsis. I love that. Thank you.
How do you like to serve others, Gino?
That's a great question. I've got all the community members calling me up. I mean, obviously their time is done. I've sold the business. They're still calling me up, asking for advice, asking for help. I just love talking real estate and how I serve others. I've got this book for free. I hand it out to people. And the book is more of having a conversation with yourself. Once you start reading it, you start listening and hearing stories. And I had my deacon at church a couple of weeks ago. I handed him the book. Out of all people, I thought, he's not going to have a conversation with me. And he says to me, you know what? I've got to get my will going. I've got to secure my legacy. And he's 70 years old. So there's a little bit in this book for everybody.
Everything.
And it starts the conversation.
And how can the listener get a hold of that book, did you say?
You can go to Barbaro360, BarBaro360.com. It's on our website. We're selling it on
Awesome.
Amazon as well. If you want a free PDF copy, just email me, Gino@jakeandgino.com, and I'll send you a free PDF copy.
Perfect. So good. What's one question that you wish I'd asked that I have not asked? Anything you think we should cover here before we hop off?
That's another great question. I could talk about real estate forever. Yes, one thing that I love to talk about is our three-step framework. This is really important because you wanted to talk a little bit about real estate. So when you're looking at a deal, you're looking to buy a mobile home park, you're looking to buy a business, look at it through the lens of buy right, finance right, and manage right. Think of a wheelbarrow. You have the two back legs. That's the buy right. What's your buy box? What are you buying?
That's great.
Where? Median income, number of units, unit mix, average rents. That's the buy right. Finance right is how you're financing this. When those both legs are done, they're fixed. That's it. Then it's the manage, which is the wheel of the
I
barrel.
love that.
And if you don't understand that the real estate is a business, and even if you're buying a business, a franchise, whatever that is, that wheel is crucial. That's why a lot of these assets are having issues. People just thought they could buy real estate, raise rents, and flip out. Nobody was managing these assets, and that's the
That's so
important.
good. And I actually, it's interesting. I hadn't thought of it till you explained it so well just there. But I talk with my team. I have a mortgage note fund, residential mortgage notes. We raise capital and we buy fund, buy notes and manage those notes. And that's exactly it's, I talk about the three legs of the stool, and one leg is raising capital. The second leg is finding the deals and doing your due diligence. You got to have your buy box to be able to do all that. So it's essentially first leg is getting money. Second leg is getting deals, buying the notes. And the third leg is managing those two things, managing the capital and managing the notes, which most of probably 75% of my time is spent in that asset management area, maybe even more, because that's where the work happens, and that's what I'm good at, quite honestly. But it's that's so true, and it's whether it's a note business or multifamily business or like you said, buying a business. Those are the three things to consider. That's really good. I've never heard it put exactly the way you did, so that's awesome.
Thank
Gino,
you.
anything before we hop off? Where can our listeners find you online?
It's been a pleasure to be on. I love talking real estate. I love talking family. I love talking money. Just go to Barbaro360.com. Check us out. We have a YouTube page. You can go online to jakeandgino.com as well. We've got our podcast on there as well. And I just launched a show called The Happy Money Podcast with my 22-year-old son. So go check that out on Apple as well.
So good. You've delivered a ton of value, and I this is definitely one I'm going to be listening to for sure. So, Gino, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, brother.
This has been great. And to the listener out there, thank you for spending your most valuable resource with us, and that is your time. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on From Adversity to Abundance. We hope today's episode has equipped you with valuable insights and practical advice to elevate your real estate journey. For more inspiring stories and resources, visit us at www.adversitytoabundance.com. If this episode has inspired you, please share it with a friend who could also benefit from our conversation. Together, let's turn adversity into abundance. Until next time, keep building your mental fitness and your real estate empire.
Hey, I'm Jamie Bateman. Over the years, I've learned that success in mortgage notes and real estate investing boils down to making smart decisions quickly and confidently. That's why I'm excited to share with you the Ideal Project Analyzer, or IPA for short, a tool that's been a true game changer for me and so many other investors. This Excel-based powerhouse simplifies the entire process, letting you analyze assets in minutes and explore multiple exit strategies without second-guessing your choices. It's like having a trusted advisor built into your workflow, helping you save time and reduce risks every step of the way. With the IPA, you're not just investing smarter, you're unlocking a whole new level of success. Whether you're new to the game or you're a seasoned pro, this tool gives you the edge you need to maximize returns and streamline and present your investments to investors. And right now, you can get the IPA at an exclusively discounted rate, just $849 plus $25 per month. Trust me, this is the tool that will take your note investing and real estate investing to the next level. Visit LabradorLending.com to learn more and to see how the IPA can transform your investing journey today.